If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the automatic doors. They will be closing in a moment. Thank you.
Welcome back to another exciting show. Tonight with me, co-host for this show, is Al and also Bill. Welcome to the show, guys.
Good afternoon, good evening. Happy to be here.
Oh, that's great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. A lot of great things to talk about tonight. A lot of exciting things and some updates on the foundation. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, it will. And Bill, how's your week going this week?
It is going quickly. Let's put it that way. Looking forward to the weekend, but everything's good to be. Recording with you guys tonight, so I'm happy.
Yeah. How's your weather up there? You got good weather, bad weather?
Okay weather. It was threats of ice storms and all this stuff. We just got rain where I am, but it's supposed to get really cold tomorrow, so we'll deal with that tomorrow, I guess.
Well, believe it or not, after 3-4 days, we have patches still in shady spots, but we still have patches of snow in South Carolina.
Here in North Carolina. the whole state must be shut down then still.
Well, basically.
Yeah, you guys don't want to hear the weather we have in Sarasota, so I'm not even going to say.
Yeah, no, we don't want to hear it. Oh, no. Okay, so let's get on with the show. Tonight, Al is going to share with us some more information on when he worked at Disney in his various roles. And I don't know, Bill, there might even be a little test in it for you and me. So anyway, let me hand it over to Al, and Al can explain what we're going to be talking about tonight.
Good evening, everyone. I'm happy to be here with everybody as always. And tonight, I thought it would be fun to do a show on the things that Disney cast members say and do, lingo, gestures, other fun things that you learn when you join the company. So, Sheila, I just got a call over the radio, and it seems that there's a code V at Pirates of the Caribbean. Are you able to respond and stand by that and help us out with that?
Yes, I am. Do you know why?
Why?
Okay, I do know what a code V is, but before I go further, Bill, do you know what a code V is?
Well, obviously, if it's Pirates of the Caribbean, it has to be a vendetta. So two pirates are going after each other, so Sheila's going to go in there and stop them from being pirates.
Okay, nice try, but I think he's wrong, isn't he?
Oh. He is wrong. He's off the beam, sad to say.
Already. No, on my recent trip, Al, I do know what a code V is. I've heard about it many times. But this is the trip I took with, 18 other family members. And we had just got into Magic Kingdom on our very, very first day. And the four-year-old that was with us decided to vomit all over the ground. And so I had gone up to a cast member just to explain what had happened. And she had turned around to me and said, well, can you go and stand with it? We can get someone to come and clean it up. So this was the first time in my life I've had to babysit vomit on the ground. But yes, vomit. There you go.
It's funny. It's typically, she might have been a newer cast member. Typically, as cast members, we don't want the guests to really stand and do that because, first off, what tends to happen, you'll get a chain reaction sometimes. And it's just not magical to stand. I mean, with all the beautiful things there are to see, and do with Disney, standing next to vomit is really not one of our better things to see and do or smell.
Yeah. I mean, I must say, when they came to clean it up, they were very professional. Just not your normal, you know, clean it up. I mean, they had the signs up, you know, stay away from this area. I mean, it was really very impressive how they cleaned this vomit up.
But it's very, you know, and we're going to make this a very fun show, but I want to be serious with this. Disney is super professional in cleaning up, you know, if someone like has a little bit of, you know, blood on the floor or, you know, they are super professional. They're very good with the training and the cast members are well protected. It's amongst the better things that we do. I always say we, I'm not currently with the company, but it is very professional what they do. In fact, they have a specific team. You know, as you might imagine, Disney has what, 18 resorts and how many pools? I mean, who can even count them? So, you know, people go and they eat too much sometimes, or they eat that buffet breakfast and it gets to be too much. So accidents tend to happen in the pool. So I don't know if you guys know this, but there's actually a specific team, and it's very hard to get on it, that actually handles those kind of incidents when they happen at the pool. And believe it or not, the name of the team is the Fecal Accidental Response Team. And we love our acronym. So if you could write up that acronym, I'll figure that out. Be pretty interesting. You guys figure that one out?
So it's FART.
That's correct.
How would you like to be on? How would you like to be on that team then, Bill?
Well, I don't think that's the dream team that Al's talked about or before. So, I mean, I'd be a Disney employee, so I guess that'd be good. But I just have a picture of the team from Monsters Incorporated, whatever that team is that comes in and cleans up when they have I should know that one, but I don't know the number for that, whatever that is, the code for that. But yeah, that's just how they come in with the, you know, and yeah.
So when they are needed, does someone call for the FART team, or do they actually use the word itself, Al?
Well, they'll tend to shut the pool down and whatever, but it's funny because they don't actually say it. A lot of cast members don't even know it exists until they actually look for new cast members to fill up the gap. And what'll tend to happen, and let me tell you, I've been in a lot of break rooms as security and Dream Squad, and nothing is funnier than seeing because Disney will put certain signs up around. So the way Disney does their hiring and the way they fill roles is that they fill them in-house first. So before someone new comes in and joins Disney, it's offered to the people who are, you know, the cast members who are already there. So what Disney will do sometimes is they'll post it in the break rooms and they'll have it out, you know, FART, Fecal Accidental Response Team, and it tells you, you know, what the duties are, so to speak. And can't say it without laughing, but the cast members read this on the wall, and it is the most funny thing you'll ever see in your life, because people say stuff like, geez, I should get on that team. I have a Great Dane at home. I'm pretty good at that. Or, you know, I have three kids, and, you know, what are the requirements for that team? And, you know, it actually does give requirements, and you have to, it's kind of a serious thing. You have to go through some, it pays very well too. So it's in comparison to, say, working attractions or merchandise or something, it does pay a lot more. So it's just like the guy walking behind the horse with the honeypot. It's along those lines. Yeah, it's interesting.
Okay, actually, Al, before we go any further, I should have said this when I was doing the intros. Steve has joined us, and I don't know how much he's going to say, but he came in on the FART one, so.
Perfect.
I didn't know you heard me do that.
Okay.
Welcome, Steve.
Okay, so, I mean, yeah. Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here. And I apologize for the passing that I did when I came into the room. So what are you guys talking about?
Well, we're actually talking about things the cast members say and do, you know, lingo, gestures, other fun things which kind of show that they're a cast member, because it's kind of like if you, and I mean this with the utmost respect, if you've ever spoke to someone who's been in the military, They might be in the military maybe for a year or 13 months or something, but that kind of stays with you the rest of your life, and you tend to be very neat, and you fold your shirt, and being a cast member is the same thing. In fact, when you work at Disney, I mean, one of the prime things, if you work in merchandise at Disney and you go out and say you decide to leave the company, you move somewhere, you tell a retailer that you worked at Disney, they want to hire you in a heartbeat, because Disney cast members learn a thing called merchantainment at merchandise, and they count back the change, and everything is accurate. All the bills are the same direction in the drawer. It's a work of art. It really is. And I had a Hallmark store for 25 years. So when I did merchandise, it was fantastic. I just totally loved it. I mean, anybody who's OCD with that kind of stuff, or it is just incredible. The only thing with me is, which I drove them crazy with, is I'm left-handed. So I put everything backwards. It's because, you know, you have your own drawer, so they shouldn't be playing with the drawer. But when I go to the money room and the person would count out the money room, in the money room would count it out and make sure it was accurate, they'd be like, wait a minute, why are the 20s over here and the singles? Well, it's because I'm left-handed. But, oh, okay. Well, it's, you know, it's interesting because, you know, you wonder where the genesis of all this is. And a lot of people come to Disney, which is what makes it great, is a lot of people come with a lot of Disney history already. And that's what makes the company so wonderful. But if you don't have that coming in, everyone gets the start of this at Disney University, at Traditions. This is where all of these things start, you know, codes and gestures and all the things that we do at Disney. And it's fantastic. I tell people, Traditions is one of the best things you'll ever do. And Traditions is something that everybody takes, whether you're a guy or woman, a cast member making $1 million a year as an Imagineer or whatever you are, or you're the lowest whatever paid, everyone takes the class together. And it's a unifying thing. It's like the first team building thing you do at Disney.
So have you got one that you can test us all with?
I do. I have a pretty easy one, which everybody pretty much knows. If you're a good Disney person, you'll know what it stands for. But if you work at the park, it stands for something else. So do you guys know what Epcot stands for?
Bill?
I know what it's supposed to sound. What it stands for as far as the name of Epcot itself. But I'm guessing there's another name meaning for it.
Yeah, so do you know what the regular meaning of Epcot is?
Let me see, and I'll probably get this wrong. The Experimental Protocol Community of Tomorrow. Yeah,
right. Protocol, right?
No. Yes.
Steve, do you know the other alternate?
Every person.
I think I got it.
Do you have it, Sheila?
Hold on. Every person comes out tired.
No, I'm not Googling.
Every paycheck comes out Thursday?
That is perfectly correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got it.
do we keep score, Bill?
So far, I'm only getting the negative, so sure. Let's keep score.
Sure, why not?
I'm going to owe Al money by the end of this.
Oh, cool. I'll get a Disney timeshare.
There you go.
So, score so far is Bill 0, Steve 1. So, where did that one come from?
Right. Oh, the Epcot one? Well Epcot actually came from Disney, right? Himself. And then it turned out that, you know, it became Celebration and all that, the town. But the cast members made that one up because the paycheck actually does come out on Thursdays. If you have automatic paying into your paycheck. And so, and it also, a lot of cast members, especially the ones who work merchandise and strollers, their acronym is Every Person Comes Out With Toddlers. So they like to use that one.
I like that.
I've not heard that one.
It's a cute one. It really is. You know, it's funny. It's like, depending on where you work in the park and what division you're in, you'll hear certain things, but that's a kind of uniform one all around the board. So, hey, if we want to do another quiz, so if I said to you, you want a free vacation, you know, 5 nights, and you could choose between the BLT or the DAAR, which one would you rather be at?
Bill?
So it's the...
The BLT, like bacon, BLT, lettuce, and tomato.
Right.
Or the DAAR, DAR.
DAR.
Okay.
I'm going for the BLT because I can't think of what the DAR. And as soon as you're going to say it, I'm going to hit myself. But
yeah.
But I'm going to go with the BLT with a side of Coke, actually Diet Coke. And does it come with chips?
It does.
Then I'll do the BLT for the view, but I want a castle view.
That'll work. That you will get that from the BLT. So the BLT is actually the Bay Lake Tower.
Okay.
Right next to the Contemporary. And the DAR is Disney's Art of Animation Resort.
Yay, I won.
Disney. Oh.
Disney's Art of Animation.
Resort.
I don't do value resorts, so I wouldn't have known that.
Oh, you snob.
I am a snob.
Art of Animation is technically not. It's a,
have you seen the price of those
rooms? I know.
Yeah, it's just those kind of things. It's getting higher and higher. You know, it's funny. I don't think I shared the story yet. And you're talking about value resorts and all that. I don't think I shared the story about when I was working the kiosk at All-Star. Did I in any of the other shows? When I was working security? Okay, well, this is a great story, and I'm still laughing about it today. It was probably the funniest thing that ever happened to me working at a Disney kiosk, and a lot of funny things have happened. But so I'm working at the All-Star kiosk one shift, swing shift, let's back up. Disney, talking about what we say and gestures and lingo. So Disney doesn't have an A, B, and a C shift like Universal. That's how they do it. So A shift being morning, B being the middle, C being... So at Disney, we have basically we call it day shift, which is in the more in the morning. And then you have swing shift, which I typically worked because most of the action happens on swing shift. And then the last shift, which would be the C shift at Universal, we call it a grave shift. It's grave at Disney. So here I am working a swing shift at the All-Star Resort. And this is a true story, and I'm still in awe of it. But I'm working at the All-Star. And, of course, you know, one of the things we say is welcome home, no matter what, you know, whether it be a BLT resort or whether it be a high end or a value or a moderate. So a family comes in a minivan, husband and wife and three kids, and they're all so happy. And, you know, which most people are when they come into the resorts. And I said, oh, hi, how you doing? Welcome home. This is great. And I'm looking at the vibe in the minivan, and I'm saying, wow, this has got to be their first day because they're just like totally amped up. So I said, hey, there's nothing like the first day coming into Disney, right? And they're like, no, actually, this is our second day. And I was like, really? They're like, yeah, and we're so, so happy. We're so thrilled. We were very unhappy yesterday, but today everything's fixed up and we're thrilled. We are checking in here now, but we're just so happy today. I was like, really? Well, what's the story? Why weren't you happy yesterday? Because, you know, there's no line behind them. I'm able to talk to them, you know? And they said, well, we actually checked into the Polynesian and we absolutely hated the Polynesian. And I'm thinking, wow, that's my favorite resort. That's the one Walt Disney himself loved, right? And they tell me, yeah, we hated the Polynesian. So what did we do? We went to the front, you know, we saw the front, you know, the FSA. There's another acronym for you. It stands for Front Service Advisor.
And FSA.
FSA. It's like a coordinator. It's the thing you become before you're a guest service manager. You're like the coordinator, but you're doing more work than the manager. It's called an FSA. So they're like, yeah, we went to see the FSA, and then the guest service manager came out for the hotel, and they were so nice. We told them we didn't like the Polynesian, and they did us a tremendous favor. They upgraded us to the All-Star. So I took a step back, and you guys know me pretty much long enough now. I'm very rarely speechless. I didn't know what to say. I took two steps back, and I said, well, welcome home. And they drove in merrily along. And I saw them later on. And in fact, these people were so happy. These guests were so happy. They came out and they said, hey, we feel bad. You're in the kiosk. I was like, no, I get a lunch. I get a breaker. They're like, no, we want to buy you something. So traditionally at Disney, you're supposed to refuse something three times. And if they still want to get it for you, then out of respect, you take it. And if it's something over $50, you tell your manager. So I was like, no. I said, oh, well, where are you going? Oh, we're going to Italian. Do you like meatballs? Oh, I love meatballs. Never thinking it's going to happen. They come back 2 hours later, still giddy and happy. I have a big thing of spaghetti and meatballs that I refused three times. And I told you, yeah, eat it. No problem. You know, it's no big deal. And that story is like one of the funniest things. I would have loved to have met that FSA and that GM who came out, who upgraded these wonderful people from the Polynesian to the All-Star.
You know what, Al? I can understand that.
Really?
Because I have heard other stories of people going to different, you know, upper end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stuff and not feeling comfortable, especially people who are on the autistic scale.
Small, yeah. Or just have small kids in general.
Small kids.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I mean, we never. I could totally get that because, you know, Matt Waffles, you know, we have the foundation for him. We always felt more comfortable at a moderate or a value resort because it seemed like you always made more friends over there. Like, I remember, and this isn't it's not owned by Disney. It's currently owned by Sheraton, the Dolphin and the Swan. They used to be owned by Westin. And when Matt was little, so he went over, they had a piano in there, and he started playing the piano. And the guest manager came over and said, oh, he really can't do that, you know. And it was like, because it was so quiet in there. So we always felt happy. We always felt like we went to there for a week and we almost felt like sometimes we exchanged numbers with people. Oh, if you come back next year. And so it was more of a bonding thing. I don't know. But I could certainly get that, how people would feel, you know. But it's still, though, I mean, I don't know if there was any money change, but the way it was delivered to me was just like Disney made a lot of money on this deal right here, you know?
Yeah.
Well, folks, this is kind of off topic just for a second. I have a lot of friends still at Disney, and they know I love music. This is breaking news. I haven't heard this yet, so breaking news on this channel. I just got a text from one of my friends saying that Kermit the Frog is now represented in Epcot. When the ball lights up, they play Rainbow Connection, and you see a rainbow go across the ball. Isn't that? I haven't heard that yet. Have you guys heard this?
No.
Really? And this comes from a very reliable source. An extremely reliable source. And I love that song Rainbow Connection because a lot of people, because we can talk Disney, right? Kermit the Frog, when people, my son was a guitarist, Waffles was a guitarist. And a lot of people say, you know, who was the best left-handed guitarist? So of course we say Jimi Hendrix, right? And that's always the staple answer. But I like to throw the thing out there, it's Kermit the Frog, because a lot of people don't realize that Kermit the Frog plays the banjo left-handed. And people are so floored by that. They're like, oh, my God, that's right. He does play it left-handed.
Wow. Did you know that, Bill?
If you would have quizzed me on it, I probably wouldn't have known. But I've heard it before, and I know why. So.
Oh, why?
Yeah. Well, it's something about most of the Muppets are left-handed because they're I don't want to pull back the magic and ruin it. But the people that help them do their movement are right-handed. So then, you know, where they have it, where they're, with their hands helping them talk. And so their hands, their left hand or something like that, has something like that because they're moving the left hand. So, I mean, everyone knows it's, except for Miss Piggy. She's a cartoon. She's not a Muppet, like, you know, with an operator. So she's real.
Hey, I'm glad you say she is a cartoon. Finally. Yes. Well, no, it's my comment from last year.
It was stated on a very reliable, very highly rated podcast. So it must be, it's canon now.
Okay, you know what, Bill? I'm done with you. Al, back to you, Al. Move us along. I love you, Bill. Don't worry.
But yeah, it's getting back to the cast member codes and stuff, it's great because it's, you know, it's something you learn in traditions, and it kind of like, look, every profession, whether you're a pharmacist or a fireman or anything, a school teacher, everyone has their own codes and things. And this is what kind of separates, you know, Universal and SeaWorld have them. I have a lot of friends who work there, but like, it's not the same as it is in Disney. A lot of the codes too just come because we have such a vast catalog of characters. Like now, if I said to you, now Sheila, you have grandchildren, if you went into Bippity Bop Boutique, right, and you brought your girls in there and you're going to make them princesses. They're already princesses, of course, but you're going to enhance them as princesses. And all of a sudden, one of them sits down and you hear a cast member say, oh, hey, everybody, Pumbaa is here. Do you know what that means? I mean, they're not saying that it's not a direct thing to your child, but if you hear Pumbaa is here, in Bippity Bop Boutique, what do you think that means?
You know what? I'm going to pass on this. Bill does have two girls. Do you know the answer, Bill?
No, and they did do Bippity Boppity Boutique when they were of that age. It's, is it like Pumbaa, like the creature name, or is it Pumbaa, or?
Yeah, it's just, well, it's, yeah, it's Pumbaa from The Lion King.
Okay, okay, let me play with it.
And it's not an acronym, but it's just something that was developed. Basically, well, I'll give you like a little hint. Obviously, Disney, we're all about the kids, and we never want to hurt any kids' feelings, and we never want to make them feel bad. And, you know, so it's a way of describing a certain condition that might be now. Of course, for me, being with the haircut that I have, it'll almost be impossible. But think about a condition that's very common with kids with long hair when they go, especially to school.
Oh, I know. All right, Steve, Bill, do you give up?
You didn't even miss me. I got kicked off.
Oh.
It did this last show we did.
Now, I am going to say little creatures in the hair follicles.
Yes.
Called lice.
Oh, my gosh.
You got it, Sheila.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, my
That's
gosh.
That's interesting.
What do you do?
Yeah, what did they do, Al?
So what they do is they just kind of like they conduct themselves, and they can't, obviously they don't tell the kid what, you know, whatever. So they'll give the kid either like a balloon or some kind of like trinket, and they'll just tell the parent, hey, listen, I don't know if you know this, but this is what's going on. We're not able to do the thing right now. Just here's a balloon. Tell them that, you know, we ran out of hairspray or something, and get the condition taken care of, and you'll get a refund or whatever, and then bring them back. We'll be happy to do it, you know, whenever. And yeah, because they don't want the little kid feeling bad. A lot of times they don't even know. A lot of times the parents don't even know.
You know what? I never even thought of something like that. I suppose it's the same in the barbershop.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the barbershop, I can tell you, I mean, I've gotten my hair cut in the barbershop, and it tends to be like, you don't see it as often because it's a lot of like, you know, guys like me just going in for the fun of it to get a haircut on Main Street. So you don't see it as often there. I mean, I'm sure you do, but it's extremely common in Bippity Bop Boutique because kids get it typically in class. And
yeah,
a lot of times the parents don't even know, and they go through and, uh-oh, you know, we can't do anything with this.
Hey, guys, I'm on the board with you. We've all got 1 point each so far.
Actually, that was good, Sheila. I didn't see that one coming.
And you know what? My kids / grandkids has never had head lice, but they have had it within their classrooms.
Yeah.
So that's why it was a couple of things Al said that kind of, yeah. Woohoo! Okay.
Game's
on. Let's go, Al.
Game's on. Okay, so now here's one that's a tougher one, and it's kind of a little, well, okay, we're gonna say it's something that happens at the Haunted Mansion very, very frequently. So if I tell you that there's a code A at the Haunted Mansion, what do you think that means?
I got it.
Okay, go to you first, Bill.
There's ghost lice that are out there. Code A.
Code A.
An alligator got in there. I have no idea.
Oh, the alligator. That's good, alligator.
That's good. No. You've probably read this. It's very common.
Exactly. I've got it.
I've got it as well.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You don't.
Yes, I do.
I just figured it out. I'm so silly. I'll let Steve do it, though. Because...
No, Sheila.
Steve was the back there going, trying to hit his buzzer, so he had it. So.
Go on then, yeah. Steve.
It's someone has dropped ashes.
Yes, Steve gets the point. That is correct. 100% correct.
Okay, so walk us through that process, if you know the process.
I do. I've had to respond to it quite a few times. It's, believe it or not, it's very, very common. I mean, people, guests, actually do it in various places, but the Haunted Mansion is definitely the number one place. And generally, it's someone who loves Disney, and they want to be at the Haunted Mansion. You know, they want that to be their final resting place. And what they don't realize is that, one, Disney has cameras everywhere, so we can see everything, you know, in the park, you know, especially in dark places, whatever. Typically, though, what happens with that is usually a guest sees it before we do, because there's just so many guest on the ride. And I mean, we tend to see it too, but you know, a lot of times people obviously come in because when they go through a bag check, they can't go in with really an urn or something, because it's, see, technically ashes are not a biohazard. So it's kind of an iffy kind of thing. But what happens is when a guest sees it happening, it's, you know, it's kind of strange, and they don't know, you know, what that's going to do to them. And so a lot of times you'll get all kinds of stuff. Like, people will see that and there'll be code Vs and there'll be other stuff. So, and it's a big thing, because what has to happen is they shut the ride down and they take all the guests off and walk them out. And we have to call in like a biohazard team. And what they'll do is they'll actually get a HEPA vacuum and they'll vacuum it up. And usually, I mean, so basically we'll get a vantage point of which guest did it. And that guest will take a walk over to security, will come over with the manager, usually with Orange County, the police, and they'll typically bring them up to the security office. And typically people don't get arrested for it unless they really get out of hand. Usually they just are very innocent. They say, listen, my grandfather wanted to be here, and this is, we wanted to fulfill his wishes. So then we'll proceed to tell them, okay, but you know, you can't get the ashes back. We have to vacuum them up. And they're like, well, that's fine. We did what he wanted us to, what he wanted to do. He's in the haunted mansion, and that's fine. You know, sadly, it inconveniences a lot of guests because it takes about 2 hours by the time you get the team in there and they make sure everything's vacuumed up and cleaned. So it kind of ruins some people's day, some guests' day. And of course, you know, that's when we come out with our magical sayings, like, you know, oh, the ghosts are on vacation for the next 2 hours, or someone lost their death certificate, or, you know, you got to come up with something interesting. And but typically they don't get prosecuted. They just kind of get a warning kind of thing and slap on the wrist, so to speak, and they go on their way.
And what happens to the ashes?
The ashes actually get vacuumed up, and I don't know the exact process of where they go. I think they're disposed of respectfully, but I don't really know what Disney does with them after that. I mean, we at that point we would be escorting the guests over to Main Street, because right behind Main Street, when you walk down, say, where the jewelers is on the opposite side, is where the security office is. So we'll escort them there, and we'll let the biohazard team come in and do their thing. And but they don't really just throw them in the garbage. I think there's some respectful thing that they do to them. But yeah, it's very common, and it really is. It's very, very common. Every so often we do catch it at the front, and we'll tell them, listen, you know, what are you doing with this? We'll have to call we always call Orange County over, and they tell them, listen, you can't spread that in the park. It's whatever. And a lot of people will bring it back to their car. But sometimes you don't catch it because they'll put it in, you know, you name it, a Coca-Cola can or, right. You know, and it's just ashes, you know. And really, if anyone does ever come in contact, it's not really the way the process is done. It's not really, you could touch it. It's not really a hazard. It's just kind of weird with the idea of it. But it actually goes through a machine, and there's no, you know, nothing anyone could get sick on. But it's just more or less the thought of it that guests, you know, no one wants to deal with that.
Yeah. I don't know if Bill's got any questions, but I'll just slide this quick question in. On the ride itself, is there a particular room that people choose on the Haunted Mansion more than other rooms?
It's typically, from what I've seen, it's typically right about in the middle. I would say more of like the Madame Leota room seems to be popular. But what you know, another one I'd say after that, because if you know the story of the ride, you guys know that on the ride, you actually pass away on the ride. Do you guys know that?
Right.
Have you ever heard that story?
Yes.
Have you, Bill?
Yes, I think I believe I've heard that.
Yeah, as you fly out of the attic.
Right. When you go backwards, it's simulating someone jumping off like a cliff. Right. And when you turn around, if you think about it on the ride, as soon as you turn around, what's the first thing that you see? It's the man and the dog, and they're shaking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the reason they're shaking is because now you're a spirit. And then when you go into that last room, it's a celebration. They're welcoming you in. So that room tends to be very popular, too, for ashes.
Actually, I've just learned why the gatekeeper is shaking.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's the reason.
Okay. Oh, that's so cool. Cool. Bill, do you have any questions on this one?
No, I do not. I didn't come prepared with questions tonight. I'm just on. I'm along for the ride.
And what a ride it is!
It's a fun ride. It's always
Mr. Owl's wild ride.
Right? It's kind of like Mr. Toad's wild ride, right?
Yep. Okay, just sticking with Ashes, just very, very quickly. Haunted Mansion must be the number one spot. But was there a number two spot in any other parks or Magic Kingdom itself that was quite popular?
Pretty much it was Pirates, because something about... Oh. You know, of course, I think one of the reasons is because it's an original ride there. And I think it's, you know, you're kind of in the boat and it's kind of dark. And it tends to be, you know, a lot of times if it's an older park, even, you know, younger, older, but it tends to be a more traditional ride because it's usually in a place where people feel familiar or there's a lot of memories. And so, like, the older rides tend to evoke more of that. You know, grandfather was on the ride. He brought us here so many times, and he loved that ride, and he loved going into the gift shop. And, you know, so it tends to be more of the what we would call the legacy rides at Magic Kingdom, or, you know, that's the ones that I've seen it on the most.
One spot on Pirates that has memories for me, not the best, but it's when you go down the big, you know, drop. So let's say... Let's say my Ashes end up there because my husband is last ride on me, Sheila. What happens to the water? Do you have to drain that water?
You know, I think what they do is they don't really. I don't think in that case I've seen that drained. I think they have a process of identifying it because typically they're gray, the Ashes. So I think they pretty much. The way that tide kind of rolls, they'll all kind of gather at a particular spot. Oh. So that's what they'll tend to do because to drain that whole thing, they'll do that every couple of years and the ride will be down. That's when the ride is down 4 or 5 months at a time. So that's a long process of actually draining that ride. And it's really huge in there because I've been in there. I worked during the closure when the parks were closed for 3 months. And we got to go inside there and make sure nobody was in there and different things. But so they don't drain it for that. They'll just, they tend to go at a certain spot and they'll do the best they can with them. And then, that's it. It's more of an issue on the Haunted Mansion.
Right. Bill.
What?
Where, if you had to have your Ashes spread, I've got to ask, what ride would you have them spread?
I'm going to be creative here. I want my Ashes spread on the People Mover.
That's a good idea.
But not just in the track, like off the edge, like sprinkle it, goes down in someone's popcorn, goes into someone's.
My God. All right.
Are you aiming for the Figment bucket that they're giving out? Come on.
I was going to say that in someone's Figment bucket. No, actually, I was, in seriousness, I was going to say that one because it wouldn't even be a ride. I'd like to be like either. And I never could remember the courtyard. I'm gonna get my Disney card taken away. The courtyard in front of the castle.
The Rose Garden?
Well, sure, the Rose Garden. We'll go with that. But
or the
like in the hub in the middle, like in the grass area or whatever, or in the Seven Seas Lagoon or something like that. That's like, you know, that's part of the, you know, the yes. Earth there. That's kind of my thing. I get myself chills for that one for some reason.
I'm off the Skyliner.
Okay, that's a good one too.
He's like manure. He's gonna spread himself.
Yeah. So depending on which way the Florida wind is going, Steve might be everywhere.
Well, I had a visual that Sheila throwing him out the screen there and it coming back in her face. That would be Steve.
Yeah.
In your face, woman.
Somebody will be sitting at Dar and they'll be like, where? These meatballs look different over here than usual.
Well, that'd be okay because that is one of my favorite resorts. So.
Okay, yeah. We joked about it. We talked about it. We will never do it. No. This was all for fun.
It's right, all for Phil? Fun. It's all for fun.
as far as the courts are concerned, it's all for fun.
At the end of the day, you never want to ruin someone's day at Disney, especially... No. Some child with the ride being closed. And you don't want to give guest relations a hard time because everything ends up going back to guest relations. And it's, you know, it's, I worked the magical side of guest relations, which was Dream Squad. And we got very little pushback. But guest relations is one of the more difficult spots to work at Disney, because you get a lot of complaints and you don't get, you know, as many guest letters or whatever as you would think. It's mostly people coming in, guests coming in, talking about their pizza was cold or this happened or that happened. And, you know, and it's
Bill it's in my popcorn.
You had Bill in the popcorn, and it's and you waited for that Figment button for so long.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
But it's all in your imagination. It's all in your imagination, so don't worry.
Oh, get us back on track here.
Yes. So okay. So we talked about some codes and all that. Well, just before we leave the codes, one of the things that they're doing is there's a thing called the 10 codes, and the police use them all across of America. It was just a way of unifying different things where, you know, if you were a police officer in Georgia and you went to California, you would kind of be in that uniform code. So Disney and a lot of the parks adopted these 10 codes, and we still use them. They're going away from them little by little, to the point where people, because what will happen is someone will say the wrong code and it'll just kind of throw things off. So now it's okay really to get on the radio and just talk plainly or just talk regular speak. But the 10 codes, probably the most popular 10 code that guests will hear, and you know, in the middle of summer in Florida, there's a lot of lightning storms. So when there's a lightning storm or there's a threat of a lightning storm, Disney will shut down all the outdoor attractions. And what you'll tend to hear over a radio or casually walking by is all outside attractions are 10-7. 10-7 means they're shut off. And then so the one you want to hear then is 10-8. 10-8 is when things go back in operation. So, you know, so what really it comes down to is it's a shorter way for, obviously you don't want to be on the radio for a long time because someone might have a more pressing thing. So the 10 codes were started for efficiency, more or less. And there's literally, Disney has, you know, you go into traditions, you might see maybe 100 of them. But in all actuality, we only really use like 4 or 5 of them very frequently. And one of the most popular ones that you're going to hear, and this is actually funny because if you come to visit Florida and you happen to, you know, you either go off property or you go to Disney Springs, or which is on property, or you go to, say, you know, Celebration, whatever, you'll be just standing there and maybe someone will get a phone call and you'll hear somebody say, even in the middle of Target, well, I can't do that right now. I'm on my 10-10. So a 10-10 is your 15-minute break. And going back to what we were saying before about someone spending time in the military, these are things that people tend to take with them. It's like I've heard people 5-6 years after working for Disney still using some of these things, and 10-10 is just your 15-minute break. And on that too, another really popular one that you hear, and this is probably the number one thing that cast members say, is this is my Monday or this is my Friday. So if you say to them, hey, I just want to come over and drop this off with you, and they'll be like, well, this is my Friday. Sorry, I'm not going to be available. I'm actually, you know, doing something. Or, oh, I'm really tired today. Oh, man, boy, was that traffic hard. And, you know, this is my Monday.
Huh.
So it's a pretty popular one. Have you guys heard those before?
No.
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 I
mean, my favorite one was I'm doing a 10-100.
Yes. That
10-100?
10-100.
Yeah. Okay, Bill, do you know what that is?
No. I don't. My code book that I just pulled up goes to 1099, and then it doesn't go any further than that. I'm going to say it means he's going to the bathroom, but...
Oh, really?
I'm going Steve, but...
That's number one.
Better than a 10-200, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
That's all right, so here's one, right?
I love film stuff.
Here's one that SeaWorld uses, and I found this one out. A guy came in one day, and he said to me, okay, you guys use the 10 codes, right? And, you know, we all know Disney's the biggest park, and we know you guys are the biggest and the best and all that. He was, but one thing we have over you is this. I was like, what, the whales? He goes, no, we have a code that you don't have. I was like, what is it? He goes, 10-300. I was like, 10-300? And I kind of was like, the way you guys were just talking, I said, well, number one, number two. I said, I don't want to say this on stage, but is it what I think it is? He goes, no, you're way off. He goes, 10-300 is when the polar bear escapes at night.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't get it.
They have a polar bear over at SeaWorld. You know, he apparently is very smart, and apparently tonight he can whatever get out of his cage or whatever he does.
What?
Or, you know, well, it's not often, but it's often enough that they have a code for it. 10300 apparently. Yeah.
Well, if it was a 10300, I bet most of you would be having a 10200.
Yes,
that's correct. Or a 10150 and a half or something.
Do they have to call the FAR team in?
They might. They might have to call more than that. Shoot, I mean, that's a lot going on there.
I have never heard of the polar bear escaping, but...
Well, he never really... Apparently, it doesn't happen when the guests are there during the day. Apparently, it's happened a few times when either they're cleaning the cage or, I guess, you know, at night, whatever they do. I mean, whatever they do at night there, I don't know. But they, it's not something that happens every day. But it's enough where they've got a code for it. I mean, I imagine that's a good way of... I don't know how many people left in there at that point, you know, working there. I'd be out the door hearing that.
Oh, absolutely.
Although I do love animals. I mean, you know, so I might try to make friends with him. I'd be like, okay. I mean, look, and the other thing is if he ate me, he wouldn't have to eat for a month. He'd be good.
All right. So what's next, Al?
Well, it's interesting because what I love about, you know, another thing you'll hear, I mean, it's just how cast members, you know, at one time or other, usually everybody who's lived in Florida works at Disney. So one of the staples, when you first go to work for Disney at Traditions or when you go to your work area, they give you this holder for your water bottle because the big thing at Disney, and especially in the summertime, is hydrate, because a lot of people faint from the heat. So they give you this water bottle holder. It's a black water bottle holder, and it's kind of like a it's insulated. So what it is you could put like a 20-ounce bottle into it, and you're only supposed to use water. I mean, some cast members put Coca-Cola or Sprite or things like that, but it's supposed to be water. I imagine some people probably put vodka in it, but I can't speak to that.
That would be Steve.
It's a cold day at Haunted Mansion. It's going to be a long day. Serve me up. So what's really funny, once you see this bottle, you could buy them on eBay, and I mean, there's so many of them around. But what's funny is that as you drive around Florida, you'll see people like working as mechanics or, you know, wherever, walking in the street, and they have these. They're so plentiful. These things. They're almost like, it's almost like I don't know what, like something that you see so popular, like having a token back in the day in New York, or you know, just. You know, having maybe, I can't even say mouse ears, but I mean, it's everybody seems to have. And you say, wow, look, former cast member or current cast member, you know, because they just keep them. Like, people might not wear their name tag, but they'll tend to keep this thing.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And, you know, what I find really funny, too, is that people, we you know, cast members have different terminologies for things. And, you know, you don't call it a uniform. You know, we call it a costume. So.
Okay.
That's another telltale thing that, you know, you'll be in Target or you'll be in Walmart or something like that. And you'll hear somebody say, well, oh, I need a red shirt I need a costume. I want to get a new costume for the dance. And someone will be looking at them like, what? And they're like, yeah, a costume. Oh, yeah, I mean clothes. And they kind of just, because they're so into that character. They're so into that thing of being a Disney that some of these terms just become, it's almost funny. It's almost like if you're a doctor or something. And you kind of talk to another doctor and someone else isn't going to know what you're talking about. You're not doing it because you want to be a smart aleck or anything. You just kind of talk that way because that's how cast members talk. They just kind of like, oh, yeah, this is what this means. And we're just going to say this and that. And, you know, so costume is a big one. You'll hear that one a lot, too.
I'll tell you something, Carl.
Yeah.
I think I have said it on the show before, but Steve and I, or maybe I think it's actually when we were going up to California, I might be wrong, but we had a layover in one of the airports, and I was asking for directions to, you know, get to the next terminal. And the girl that we were talking to kind of was giving us instructions, and then she pointed to which way we had to go. And she did the two finger point.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And I turned around to her and I said, you used to work at Disney, didn't you? So, you know, it's one of those things that like you're saying, you know, you leave the company, but you're still just doing these things.
It's, you're still doing them. It's true. And, you know, and just for the listeners, if you, for those folks who don't know, the two-fingered point was, it basically started from Walt Disney. The story went was that Walt Disney was very much, he was very close to the people who worked in the park, and he spent a lot of time at the park, and he would walk around in the morning or at night or whatever. And Walt Disney was a chain smoker, and he always had a cigarette in his fingers. And he would walk around and he would say, "Good morning, Bill. Good morning, Sheila. You know, how are you? Good morning, Steve." And he'd have the cigarette and he'd say, and he kind of pointed and say, "Well, you see that thing over there? I think we should paint that green," and, you know, whatever. And so later on, after Disney passed and they started doing these things, they didn't think it was really politically correct for Walt Disney to have the cigarette in his fingers. So they kind of airbrushed that cigarette out. And that's how the two-fingered point started. It was just, you know, it started from Walt Disney, but it's basically your hands together with the cigarette. But, that, you know, no cigarette now.
Did you know that, Bill?
I did not. And you know what? Whether it's true or not, I love it because it just, it, that one gave me chills too, because, you know, that was his thing. That was, you know, a cigarette and whatever, you want to get into that. But that was, yeah, I could just see visually him doing that. So yeah. Now every time I go to the parks, right, and I see a cast member, I know about the two-fingered, you know, the point. I think everyone knows that. Not everyone, but I love that backstory to it. And, you know, just because every time I see that, then I'm going to think of Walt Disney.
So the part about the one finger that some people find it, some cultures, excuse me, find it offensive. So it's not really from that. It's actually more from.
Yes, it's from Walt Disney because, yeah, that's how it started. It's actually lore. I mean, you could read about it. It's been very well documented. And he, that's where it started. I mean, he, again, the company doesn't look, every company has an icon, whether it be Colonel Sanders or Ray Kroc or whoever. Right. People kind of, Walt Disney was really a great guy, I think, because to me, what I love about Walt Disney is he was all in all the time. I mean, the guy was bankrupt two or three times. He was, he got depressed. He was pretty much an alcoholic. He was a chain smoker, but he was very real. He was a very real person. And along with that came, that's why people liked him, because he was vulnerable. As smart as he was, as intelligent as he was, he had a vulnerability about him and a truthfulness about him. And he really didn't hide that kind of stuff. I mean, it was a different era, of course, than it is now. But yeah, he that's one of the reasons why I always thought he was great, because he was very human to me. So it carries a long way. And you know, going back to what you were saying about what you were hinting at with the two fingers. Now, I could tell you from when I worked on monorail, right? A thing, and they haven't really been talking about this. I got more of this when I had my first traditions back in 2007. But when I worked on monorail, we have a lot of hand gestures that we use on monorails, just for monorails, and it's just basically change the pilot or whatever. But one of the things they told us on monorail was that if you want to, because we used to put people in the front cab. We used to put the guests in the front cab back in those days. So if you had two guests to go in the front cab, you weren't supposed to raise your two fingers like the way you would, like when in the 60s, they showed peace, you know?
Yes.
So Sheila might know this from being English. Apparently in England, raising up two fingers is not the best thing you could do.
Nope, it's very rude.
Yes.
What? Yes.
She does it to me all the time.
So if we had to say two guests in the front cab at the monorail, we had to put up our two index fingers on either hand.
Oh.
And guests would be like, "What in the world are they doing?" And guys, people would actually come and say, "What are you doing?" I'm like telling them there's two guests. "Oh, why don't you just do it this way?" "Nah, we like to do our own thing. You know, you can't tell the guests." Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You just did it to me now.
Well, no, it's very popular in England.
Yeah,
obviously popular in our house.
Yeah.
Apparently so. And, you know, me being the history nerd that I am, when I heard that, I had to go and research. Because, again, we had a couple of British people working with us on monorail, but I didn't. I was, no, it's going to be too rude to ask them the history of this. So I went and I Googled it. And then I ended up asking a guy, and he said it was the truth, that basically the way that started back in England was it was you used fingers to shoot the crossbow. And apparently if you were captured back in the day, they would cut your two fingers off so you couldn't use a crossbow anymore. And if you, yeah. So if you happened to get away and you ran away and you were like across the river or something, you would make that gesture as if to say, ha ha, I got away. I still have my fingers and I'm going to get you another day. And that's where that kind of started.
I have never heard that story, but that's great.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it. Wow.
You know what? I'm wondering how many of our English Irish listeners know that story.
Boy, we know that one.
No, I've never heard of it.
No, I hope it's amazing.
Yeah. And again, you research these things, but that's what we've said back in the, you know, that's what we use. It worked for us. I mean, all we knew was it wasn't a polite gesture, and that one made the most sense. And, you know, we have a lot of people at Disney who form a military and police officers, and it kind of worked well. But I had researched it at the time, and that's what they said. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it, you know.
Oh, I love it. What do you think of that story then, Bill?
Now you want to go learn to do a crossbow, right?
I'm just gonna stop. You know what? Stop. I love the story, but I'm gonna behave myself.
Bill's feeling a little cross.
Oh no, he'll bow out.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Oh my God. So you know what? You guys have been so great. You've actually won a free dinner. But I have a question. You know, would you rather eat at TTS or would you rather eat at BOG?
I know the last one. I don't know the first.
Wait a minute.
TOS? No, it was TTS.
TTS.
So don't say anything, Steve. Bill, do you know either of those?
Yeah, I know the second one.
Okay, I think the second one we've all got, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to take a guess, Bill?
I'm trying to go through it with in my. Oh, is it? No. It's going to say the Tomorrowland.
It's in the Magic Kingdom. It's in the Magic Kingdom.
I was going to say the Tomorrowland Terrace, but I don't know what the S would be.
I'm not sure either.
It's Star something, isn't it?
No, it's not that one. It's a different one.
Oh. Oh, Bill, stop confusing us.
I thought he had it.
It's in Magic Kingdom.
It is. In fact, if you eat here, you might say that's Amore.
I'm just drawing a blank, but I know what it is. Tony's. Yeah, never mind. I'm out.
Okay, Bill is going to get the point because he said Tony's. Yeah, so that's. Okay. No. Okay, I'll put us out of our misery.
Tony's Town Square.
Oh, kick ourselves, guys.
Yeah, I take that point away from me. I don't deserve it.
No, you got it.
That was good.
You're tying with Steve at this moment.
Yeah, with those choices, good. I'm going with BOG then.
We're gonna go B. Okay, so let's do one more, right?
Okay, let's stop for a second. Okay.
Yeah.
Al, you're a Brooklyn guy.
I am.
At some point in your life, I'm sure you've had a meal at Tony's.
Of course.
What's your opinion?
Here's the thing. And I've said this a lot, everything tastes better at Disney. When you're at Disney, things taste better. But coming from Brooklyn, where, I mean, I grew up with all my friends pretty much growing up were Italian friends. Mm-hmm. And, these guys were tough as nails, but let me tell you, if you tied them to a chair and you fed them ragu spaghetti sauce, they would tell you the secrets of the world. That was just sacrilege. I mean, it was like, you know, it wasn't sauce, it was gravy. And you know, their grandmothers would spend, you know, in fact, we have a great restaurant in Staten Island, New York. If you ever go to Staten Island, it's called Cuatro Nanas. It means four grandmothers. And what happens is they cook for free because each one cooks for free one night. The guy who owns it, one lady comes from Northern Italy, one from Southern Italy, and there's different styles, and it's the most unbelievable place to go. Tony's, it's not horrible, but when you've had, play, you know, and again, it's people say that about Olive Garden too.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you, as far as like the restaurant is super clean. I mean, being security, we got to go through all these places, but it's super clean. No, so it's not a question of the food being dirty, but
yeah,
it's just the sauce is the key to it. Just like in New York, the bread is the key. Yeah. So you're dealing with, you know, sauce that's kind of marginal, and you're dealing with bread that's not that typical Italian bread. And it's, you know, honestly, like a lot of guests will say, yeah, I'm from Brooklyn, or I'm not going to eat there. I'm going to go somewhere else. But it's okay. I mean, everything tastes better there.
Yeah. I wasn't bad-mouthing it necessarily. Just being, well, living in New Jersey and stuff like that, where you have great Italian food, and my mother-in-law is part Italian and all that stuff. So it's like, you know, Disney, you know, we did go there, but I just wanted your opinion on it. Not that it's bad, it's good, you know, but it's Florida. You can't get, I mean, I'm sure there's a few places in Florida you can get good Italian food, you know, and stuff like that, but it just, it's in the water. It's in the water.
It's in the water. It's right. It's the, well, the water comes from the mountains. See, I would say water, water, right?
Yeah.
Can you say water?
Water.
Bill?
It's water.
Wait a minute.
No, it's water.
All the water comes from the Hudson.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. It actually comes from upstate, from the watersheds.
Oh, okay.
That's why it's so good. Yeah.
When I lived in the Bronx, all of our water came from the Hudson.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you did something wrong, Ben.
We could say the movie, because he played Scar. If you saw Die Hard 3 with Jeremy Irons, and they drive the dump truck through those pipes, those, those huge things, those are the watersheds that water. I mean, it wasn't the actual ones, but that's what they look like, and the water comes through there and services all of New York City and the boroughs and all that. It's actually the second best water in America. The only water that's better supposedly is Colorado, coming from the mountains up there. But it's
why is it in my head everything has to do with water has to do with beer, but that's beside this point, I guess.
Yeah, that's, well, I'm a soda drinker, so I see where you're coming from with that.
No, I'm just it was because Coors Light. I'm not promoting Coors, but that's in Colorado, Golden, Colorado, because they have the water.
Right.
And there's a I'm promoting beer here. Budweiser has a brewery in Newark, New Jersey, because the water in Newark is good water, supposedly the aquifer underneath there. So, yeah, it makes sense.
That's interesting to know about the watershed thing.
Bill, I didn't know you were a connoisseur of beer.
I'm more connoisseur of good water. I like
good water. Oh, okay. It's just the beer that gets added to it, yeah?
Yeah. Well, you beer, the reason for beer is because you don't want your water to go bad. So that's why they created beer, so to keep it from going rancid. So, you know, it's all health related.
Right.
That's why I know about these. It's a water thing. It's all about the water, but I know what, because of the water. So let's leave it at that.
And you were saying you didn't know about the watershed, Steve.
No.
No?
Yeah. And you know what's funny?
I lived on the Hudson, so that's why.
Yeah. You know what's funny is very soon the New York water is even going to get better, because they've been working on a third tunnel for the last 50 years, and they're about to open that up within 6 months. So there's going to be three tunnels. It's kind of amazing if you look at what's under Manhattan, but how the different levels of the train and different things. But they're actually going to, they've been working on this tunnel literally for 50 years, because tunnels one and two are from like 1917. And they really, if there's a problem, they, you know, it would be an issue for the city's water supply. So they've been working on a high-tech tunnel. In fact, you can't even talk about the utility. We'll talk about that in a second, the utilidor. But you can't even apparently take pictures of this thing. It's kind of like that, the bunker in Virginia, where like they had where the Senate was going to go and the president, if there was ever a nuclear war. It's what's it called, Greenleaf or something, in West Virginia. They put it under a resort. And so this third tunnel is literally going to open within a couple of months. And so the New York water is even going to be better. So when you guys go up and visit, the Italian bread's even going to taste better than even usual.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll tell you a funny quick story. I got a lot of stories, but like there's a foreman trainer coordinator who I work with at front of the Magic Kingdom. And we're also, he pretty much is in charge of all the presidents when there's a security detail in there. He's an ex, he spent 35 years in the military. And he loves talking to me, because one of the things he always says to me is, Al, he goes, you know, and he's kind of a very serious guy. He's military a long time. But he says, you know, he goes, I wish I had you in my unit because a lot of guys would get depressed and they needed someone to talk to and they to divert their attention. He goes, you know more useless information than anybody I've ever met in my entire life.
Hey, Al, I think we just became best friends, but
yes, you did.
On that note, I actually have to bail now. This has been too much fun, but I gotta go. So now I'm gonna have to listen to the end of this episode so I can hear more of this useless information.
Bill, thanks so much for joining us. We are starting to wrap up anyway. I know Al's got some really good announcements that he wants to make about the Waffles Foundation. And, you know, we are going to keep coming back to having Al share these moments with us. So, hey, thanks again, Bill, for being here. And we'll chat soon.
Thank you, Bill. Bill, it was great doing a show with you. It was great. And I'm glad we're best friends now.
We'll
do a show together. We'll call it the Useless Information Show. How about that?
It's brought to you by water from New York and New Jersey.
Forget about it.
Good night, Bill.
Good night. Good night, everyone.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. Had a good time with Bill.
Time is a ticking, and I know you have some special announcements that you would like to share with our listeners just about the Waffles Foundation and all the great things that's kind of been happening.
Yes, the most exciting thing that's happened, and a lot of good things happened, but if you guys recall from one of the prior shows that a guy I called the Good Samaritan of Manatee County, he actually heard the podcast that we had done because we donate musical instruments to kids and who can't afford them and programs all across the country. And we're based out of Sarasota, Florida. So a man listened to a podcast one day, and I went into a Goodwill store up in Manatee County, and the man had heard the podcast, and we pretty much almost grabbed his guitar at the same time. And I, you know, it wasn't a grabbing thing, but I picked it up, and he asked me if I was going to buy it. And I said, I was thinking about buying it, yes. He said, well, if you're not going to buy it, I would like to buy it and send it to this guy who has a foundation who lost his son, and he gives the instruments out to kids who can't afford to play. And I was like, holy cow, I'm the guy, I'm the Disney guy. And the guy didn't believe me. And I told him about the thing, and I actually showed him my ID. He's, listen, I can't believe it. This is meant to be. I'm buying you this right now, and you're going home with it. So that was the amazing story that happened. And only because of you two guys who wonderful let me share that and brought me on the show. I have Sheila and Steve to thank for that. So I want to finish up the story on that, which is we found an amazing home for this acoustic guitar. You can see it. I have a picture of it up on my website. And so I had called up a school called St. Martha's here in Sarasota. And I introduced myself and I said, hey, I would like to start a relationship with the school and you guys, and told them what we do. And they said, wow, this is incredible timing. We're actually starting a band. And I was like, holy cow, I have a keyboard and I have two, I have an electric guitar, an Ibanez, and I have an acoustic guitar. And they're like, great, we want you to come over to the school. And I went to the school, and wonderful principal over there, wonderful staff. They gave me an entire tour of the school. And it's just, I really felt at home. And I think, you know, Matt was my only child, you know, Waffles was my only child. And one of the things, you know, he didn't have children. One of the things when you lose your child, you say, wow, all the things, you miss them so much. And you just think of these other things and you say, wow, no, there's going to be no grandchildren now and whatever. And I didn't really say that going in there, but I guess maybe the principal might have picked up on it. And, you know, we were talking and she said, listen, she says, I want to make you an honorary grandparent of the school. We're having a grandparents' day coming up on February 4th, and I want you to come. And because we had a whole interaction with the kids, and I love kids, and I worked at Disney, and I'm just, you know, people is my thing. I mean, if there's an engine needs fixing, then, you know, I might have a little difficulty, but guest relations is my thing, and people know I'm heartfelt, and so I felt so honored. But the guitar found a home in the school that just started a band, and the kids are magnificent. It's going to be in the best of all possible homes at St. Martha School here in Sarasota.
And you found a place where you can be an honorary grandfather.
Yes.
And I am so proud of you for that, Al.
Thank you. It was mutual. It's, you know, I guess good things happen when there's a positive energy and a vibe. And, you know, and when I spoke to the principal and I spoke to one of the priests who was there and I told him the story of it, and the priest was just like, look, he goes, this is just this is meant by God. This is not by accident. This is for a reason. There's a plan. It was meant to be here. It was some kid is going to pick this up and it's going to change his or her life. And I agreed. I just think that's what this is about. There's a higher purpose, and we all would like to understand it a little more, but we don't. But we just have to kind of go with it. And when you see things like this happening, it's impossible to doubt the universe. You know, call it what you want, God, the universe, whatever. There's certainly a higher force working, and I've witnessed it, and it was just downright incredible.
And you know what, Al? I really hope our listener that you met is listening to this episode to see where that guitar went.
I hope so too. I do.
It still amazes me. I'm sorry.
I've gone in there, and the man I met, the worker wasn't there. I mean, I'm just hoping to see this guy again. And you know, it's funny. Typically, I mean, because I'm going to put a video up tonight on my website about, because someone donated an instrument to me today, and I actually did a video of it, and just to show the process, because some people don't know how to process this, and it's really not a process, it's all individual, but I like to do an update, and I would love to see this man, and I just was so knocked out by what happened. I didn't get his name, all I knew was that the man lived somewhere in Manatee County. And he goes in there here and there because one of the workers recognized him. And so he comes in here, you know, he's here off and on, you know. So we went back again. I hadn't seen him, but I'm so hoping, and I would love to bring him on the show if I meet him, if he would be willing. I just hope I find this man. But you know what? If I don't find him, it was meant to be in the universe that we met. And it was just a miracle right in front of me what happened, because you couldn't have, you know, talk about a magical moment or being in the dream place at the dream time. That was it. It was, I never won the castle, but man, I was involved in that, and it was fabulous.
There's part of me that also feels that sometimes people can do these great things, but they don't necessarily want the light to be shone on them. And, you know, so far we have not heard from this listener, and I just think he might fall into that category. But hey, listener, you're amazing. You really are.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He's amazing, and I think you're right about that. And it was a famous episode of MASH, where Charles tended to be sometimes a villain, and he did certain things. But there was a great episode of MASH where he gave out chocolates to the orphanage, and it was tradition in his family not to tell who it came from. And that was, and this could be the case with this guy. And
wow, goosebumps. Seriously.
And there's your Disney tie-in, because that was
He was Cogsworth.
He was Cogsworth. David Ogden Stiers.
Correct. And he was also the mayor in Pocahontas, the
yes!
governor.
Yes. I actually forgot that.
You know, and, you know, I know a lot of useless information. You know
that. Yeah.
Yes, so that was great news. And just quickly, one other thing that I want to share. Okay. We're doing, you know, because with the health situation in the country, it's been difficult. So we've been a foundation for a little bit over a year, and I've so wanted to do a fundraiser. So we're actually going to be doing our first fundraiser here in Sarasota at a place called Arcade Monsters. And Matt was an avid, you know, Matt was a great guitarist. He could play anything on strings. But what Matt also loved was video games. So I thought it would be a wonderful tribute to Matt as a fundraiser to do an event at this place called Arcade Monsters. And even that had a wonderful story, because I went in there and I booked it, and I ended up meeting a guy called Brian Q, who actually is the star of one of the most famous video game movies ever. It's called The King of Kong, and it's all about the Donkey Kong game. And Brian Q is going to really – he gave me his first autograph of 2022 to do as a raffle or whatever I want, and he's going to really try hard to be at the event. So if there's any avid gamers out there – and I can't guarantee it, because – he's actually retired from, you know, he made some good financial choices as a younger guy, and he's only 42, and he works as like a roving guest or whatever, as you might call it, for Arcade Monsters. But he's going to try his best to be at the event. So it's a good possibility. If there's any avid gamers out there, you'll get to meet the man who holds like 7 world records for these video games, like Frogger and Paperboy and Donkey Kong, so many others.
I used to love Paperboy.
Yeah. Come on down, Sheila, to the event. You'll love it. They got Paperboy in this. It's if you guys go to my channel, Kindred Souls of Brooklyn, I've done 3 videos with Brian Q already, and you'll see he's a great, great guy, and he talks about the games. We even do Donkey Kong strategy. He's actually gotten a game over 1 million, and that's one of the – it's like the 2nd or 3rd highest score ever on Donkey Kong. And he was the 2nd guy in history to get to what they call the kill screen. It's a point in the game where the game can't handle any information anymore, and the game stops. So he was the 2nd person in history to make it to that point. Yeah. So it's going to be a great time. April 29th, 2022, Arcade Monsters in Lido Beach, Florida. It's in St. Armand Circle, which is probably one of the best, nicest areas you'll ever see. Amazing restaurants in there. It's just an incredible area, and it goes to a great cause. It's $25 a ticket. All proceeds go to the Waffles Foundation for saving lives through music, one note at a time. We donate instruments to kids who can't afford to play, and programs. So it goes to a wonderful cause.
Now, if Steve and I can't get there, do you have anything like sponsoring a local child in the area?
Yes, that's a great way of – yeah, I would love to invite our sponsored kids. We have 2 sponsored kids at the Suzuki Music Institute, and now that I'm an honorary grandparent at St. Martha's, I would – if people wanted to sponsor someone to come or whoever, many, it's $25 each, and – You could sponsor a child to come to the event that night. We're going to have door prizes. We're going to do all these exciting things there. And it's the games are state of the art. And what's wonderful about this place is the owners of the place actually from New York. They're from New York City. They are constantly – they have people on staff. When I say constantly cleaning the machines, it is the cleanest arcade. And I've been to lots of arcades. I mean, Coney Island. I mean, man, this is the cleanest arcade I've ever been to in my entire life. And so it's going to be safe. You don't have to worry about catching anything or anything. It's absolutely fabulous.
That's great. Al, was there anything else you wanted to quickly share with us? Or
I just wanted to say thank you to everybody out there for just supporting us. We're seeing so much love. We had a cello donated to us today. I don't know if it was via the website. It was via our website, but it's just so many good things are happening in the foundation, and we're just trying to build it up as most as we can and touch as many kids as we can in terms of, you know, helping them to play the music. And we're just trying to – we're doing this fundraiser now, and we're hoping that I'm actually writing away. And thank you, too, Sheila, for you had recommended a few places to write to. I'm doing that. We have a great supermarket called Publix here in Florida, which I'm sure everybody knows. They're based in Lakeland, so I'm going to be writing to them to see if they want to give us a grant. So a lot of great things are happening, and I have you guys to thank for it, and all you wonderful folks out there who have just been so supportive and loving for our foundation and making such a difference for these kids, because a lot of these kids, some of them live in shelters, and their only possession is that instrument. And it's a tremendous thing for them to know that they finally have something that's theirs. It's really hard to imagine. For those of us who are lucky, who grew up, you know, in a, I don't know what you want to call it, but like, you know, in a place where we had, you know, parents or whatever the story was, that we didn't have to worry about whether we were eating that night or whatever. You know, our biggest worry was maybe getting to a kill screen on Donkey Kong. We were very fortunate, but there's a lot of kids out there who don't have that. And, you know, I've seen it that, you know, they live out of shelters, and they get this instrument, and it becomes such an amazing thing for them. They finally have something that's theirs and secure. And, you know, words can't describe how they feel with it. And I just want to thank everybody for making that dream come true for all of these kids, and for just everything that's happening. It's been so wonderful.
We're so happy to be on this journey with you, Al.
And I'm so lucky to have you guys, too. I really feel that, Sheila and Steve. I'm so grateful and thankful to be a host on the show and to come on and have a wonderful time speaking to everybody. It's a blessing.
Al, can you just share your media link, and then we do have to close this show down.
That's your telegraph number.
There you go. Okay, so if they want to give me a phone call, my number is 321-246-0335. They can email me. It's wafflesfoundation@gmail.com. It's waffles, just like the food that you eat, because that was my son's nickname in high school. And finally, if you want to go to the website, it's www.wafflesfoundation.org. And we also have a Facebook page, the Waffles Foundation, Inc.
And because Al is one of the co-hosts for the show, if you missed all that, even though it's going to be in the show notes, you can find Al over in our Facebook group at Monorail Tales. So
a Morse code message.
Yeah. Yes. Send me a message.
Thank you, Al, for making this episode tonight with us. You're a great co-host, I'll tell you that. I've learned something.
It's easy, you guys. It's lovely. I feel like I know you guys my whole life. It's really simple. It's like getting together with friends and just chatting around the campfire, you know?
That's the Disney magic. So good night to our listeners. We love you. Good night, Steve. Good night, Al.
Good night, Steve. Good night, Sheila. Good night, listeners.
Good night. Which reminds me of the Waltons.
Good night, Sheila.
Switch on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go see the world, cause it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes, cause your future's ready to shine. It's just a matter of time before we learn how to fly. Welcome to the rhythm of the night. There's something in the air you can't deny. It's been fun, but now I've got.
And thank you!